Okay, good Chodesh to everybody. Be'ezras Hashem, the Zman of Elul. I hope to be continuing with the recordings. I actually had this close of being able to give the daf in person. It was just too hard for me. I didn't want people to interrupt with the questions, feel uncomfortable recording it, and I didn't really have time to then re-record it for the Olam. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm back now to be able to record it, and I hope to be able to continue now with the whole back half. That's one of my favorite masechtas. I'm upset that I didn't put it on Yayi Torah, but Baruch Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, those who are listening to the recording, we'll hopefully be able to continue together with the recordings from now going weiter. So now, picking up from Nun Beis Amud Beis, we are three lines from the bottom with the words of Rav Papa. So the Gemara now says that Rav Papa is talking about the idea of a ksuvas bin indichrin. Just to remind ourselves, what is ksuvas bin indichrin? Is that if a woman is going to be marrying a man, so the father-in-law, the kala's father, so he's not going to be as inclined to write a nice nadunya, a nice dowry for his daughter, because he says, look, if my daughter dies first, then this guy is going to go marry, or he has multiple wives, whatever it is. And whatever I give her, if my daughter dies first, is going to be split up amongst everybody. I don't want to give like $1 million to her dowry, and then it's just going to be split amongst this guy's other wife's children, because that's halacha, right? If she dies first, the husband inherits her. Then when the husband dies, all of his male children are going to inherit this guy who died, so his son-in-law. So what happens is the guy's going to refrain from giving money to the dowry. So in order to prevent this, Chazal instituted ksuvas bin indichrin, which is discussed all the whole logic about it. It was a din potentially daraisa. We're going to see today sounds like it's darabanan. But either way, what exactly is going on over here is that what happens is the ksuvas bin indichrin says that whatever the dowry was written for this woman, so again, Sarah is marrying Reuven now, so whatever the father-in-law of Sarah, Shimon, is going to be writing in the dowry for Sarah is actually going to be given only to Sarah's children, this ksuvas bin indichrin. So this extra $1 million is going to be given only to Sarah and Reuven's children. If Reuven subsequently, or even while they had multiple wives were mutter until the Zman of Rabbeinu Gershon, so they had multiple wives, so if this Reuven has another wife, then so Sarah dies, and Reuven has another wife, Leah, so Leah's children will not inherit any of that $1 million of Reuven's estate. However, anything that Reuven has as his own normal property, obviously that is split up, and even we mentioned also part of this, ksuvas bin indichrin, is that there needs to be regular nachala. If the guy doesn't have at least a dinar, the remaining of other property that he's going to be giving his own property, he's in debt, so then this only this $1 million inherited from the ksuvas bin indichrin, then it actually does get canceled out. The $1 million would be split equally if he has no other money, because then you don't have any din of nachla dorei. So that's what we saw in the previous daf, but just that was ksuvas bin dichrin. So Nagmar now just relating a story with regards to ksuvas bin dichrin. Rav Papa isek le lebrei be abasura. So Rav Papa was he was involved with, right, making a shidduch, because he was making the shidduch. He's marrying off his son to the house of Abba Surah. Abba Surah was actually Rav Papa's father-in-law. Rav Papa was marrying off his son to his sister-in-law. So the Rashash points out that, wait a second over here, if that's going on, that his son would be marrying his aunt. That is obviously an Isser. That's an Isser Dereisa for one to marry his aunt. So it can't be that's what's going on. So it must be that Rav Papa was Rav Papa must have been born. He must have been born to Rav Papa from a previous. This son must have been born to Rav Papa from a previous marriage, not the marriage of his father, his direct father-in-law, could then be a blood relative to his aunt, which would be usher. So it must be that it was different marriage that Rav Papa had this child from. Okay, so it's mutter to marry his aunt, not through. It wouldn't be his aunt halachically his aunt. So the Gemara says, Azal mitav la ksuba. So Rav Papa went to Abba Surah's house to write a ksuba for her. Shema Yehuda Bar Meimar. If Yehuda Bar Meimar heard that Rav Papa was in town, enough like us, so he's chazilir. If Yehuda Bar Meimar left his house and go to get Shalom Aleichem to Rav Papa. And they walked into, again, the house of Abba Surah, and they were going to be establishing how much he's writing for the dowry, the ksuba has been in Dichrin. So when they reached the house, or they reached the door of the house, Rav Yehuda wanted to leave Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Neol Mar Behadi. Rav Papa said, wait, what's the problem? Come in with me. So he said, turning out the next time, he was uncomfortable coming in, you know, financial things, ksuba, he doesn't want to get into it, it's awkward. He didn't want to come in. So Amar Lei, Rav Papa said to him, "My Daisech, what is your reason that you think it's awkward to come in?" Mishum Amar Lei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, because Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, was his Talmud Shinina, he always called him my sharp Talmud. We see this a few times in Shas, he's called Shinina. Lo Tavi Bi'ur Be'achsana, do not be present where inheritance is being transferred from the rightful people to the unrightful people, meaning if a person has a son and a daughter, and he decides to give his, he's nearing his age, he's 80, he's 90, whatever, and he's giving his daughter $1 million because he knows that the daughter's not inheriting anything. So that's not in the spirit of the halacha. No, halacha, that is valid, that he's giving $1 million, but it's not in the spirit of halacha that he should be doing that. There's a whole shayla bizman hazeh, how and what we do in order that we do give to our daughters. That's not for now, but that is, the Gemara is talking about over here, that that's not proper. So the Gemara says, afilo mibrar bisha lebar tava. So the Gemara says that even if it's from a son who is bad to a good son, meaning there's two sons. Reuven has two sons. He has Shimon and Levi as his two children. And Shimon is a Rasha, so he wants to give it only to everything to Levi and give it while he's still alive, so the Levi doesn't get anything. So even that, the Gemara says, is inappropriate. Why? Because the Gemara says, "De lo yada mai zari nafek minei." So then you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe really Shimon, who's the Rasha right now, his children are going to do Bali. Shuvah's going to be big tzaddikim, and really Hashem wanted that the property should go to him. So you don't, should never take away him from the will. So Gemara says, V'kol shekin b'brother Barta. And certainly this case is going to be even worse, because here, what's going on? Again, the Ksuvah's ben Dichrin is that the father was giving money that eventually would be, really should be going to his male children, but he's giving it to his daughter as a dowry. He's giving this $1 million as a present to his daughter. That's money that really should have been inherited by the sons. So we see over here that that's not appropriate. So that is something which is wrong. So Rav Papa is arguing that this should not be the case. Why? Because the whole idea of Ksuvah ben Dichrin is a din derabanan, Delmar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Hashem Mechai, that it is a takana derabanan, and therefore we want to encourage a large dowry, want his daughter to be able to find a nice shidduch, and this is something which is encouraged by the rabbanan. So don't tell me that this is something bad, so you should be able to come in. It's important to know that we pointed out that on yesterday's daf, we seem to say, we quoted a pasuk, it was a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's a little bit strange. When the Gemara says, how are we being oker nachla deraisa? And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu to say, we're not really being oker the din of nachla deraisa. But either way, over here, in this case, we're saying that at the end of the day, this is something which is not a problem. Either ben derabanan or deraisa, ksuvah ben dichrin is okay to be done. So you can come in with me and watch the dara being written by Abba Surah. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei. So Yehuda responding, no, hane mile medaite. This argument applies to the dara that person is going to be doing on his own. However, la suye nami, when you're forcing the father to write a larger dowry, it's going to be problematic. So Rapapa says, Amar Lei, atu mi kamina lach dolvasi. We're going to force him to write a large dowry? No. Just come in. So Yehuda Ramimah responds, no, because Amar Lei, male didi, haino asiya. I'm a chashuv a rav in the town. He sees me coming in with you. Everyone knows how chashuv Rapapa is. He's going to say, oh my gosh, I have to give a really high, look at who the rav of the town came in. The Rebbe's coming in now. I have to give an extremely large dowry. So Akbev, oh, Rapapa eventually convinced him, and he came in, Yehuda came in. Yashik V'yasev Yehuda was sitting there quietly. Savar Mirtach Rosach, and Arba Surah wrote the original amount. It was a very large number, whatever it was. And he saw that Yehuda wasn't responding, so he was silent. So he thought that he was angry because he didn't write a large enough dowry. So he erased it, right? And right, Kasa L'chol Ma'ed Avilei. He wrote 10 times more than that. He kept writing a bigger number. So ultimately, Abba said back to Yehuda, he said, listen, I kept increasing the numbers. Why aren't you responding? He wasn't silent because he wasn't responding. So he says, so finally he opens up and he says, he says, I swear that I didn't leave anything for myself. Why are you upset about me? Why are you upset that you're not writing a large enough dowry? Amar Lei Yehuda said to Abba, if taking advice from me, the very first amount you wrote, the very initial check that you wrote, you're going to write on the dowry, that was way more than necessary. So that was already fine. Amar Lei, so now Abba Surah said back to Rav Yehuda, Hashtanami Adarbi, so can I retract? Because I really gave way beyond my means. I gave everything I have. Every dollar I have, I gave. So Amar Lei, so Yehuda said back to Abba, Shavanashe Chajina lo kamina. Yes, but halakhically, really, it is okay, but it's something you're going back on your word. It's something you agreed to give a certain amount, and now you're going to be going back on it, which in many times is not appropriate. So meaning, that's very interesting what the maskade is, meaning, alpi halakha, you can do it, but really, not necessarily recommended that you should be considered somebody who's going back on his word, even for this case where you did it more. Okay, now the Gemara continues another din of ksuvas ben dichrin. Bai minei rav yemer savar of nachman, machron ksuvas alabaila. If a woman sold her ksuva to her husband, so she sold all her rights to her ksuba to her husband. So the Rishonim are bothered by this, but we know, we learned earlier, that a man cannot be with his wife for even one moment, if she does not have the ksuba, it's going to, Gemara says, shavei lebilas nus, because she doesn't have any security to be with him, and it's mamash like a bilas nus, you're never allowed to be together without a ksuba. So then our Gemara, where lechora is going to be problematic over here. So they explain that either to one of the two options, Ron, the Rush, others all discuss this. So they explain that maybe our case is where the husband died immediately after the sale and they weren't together yet. And then we're wondering what happens. Or the case is talking about where he stayed with her. Lo al pi halacha, they violated the halacha where they were together. We weren't supposed to because they didn't have the ksuba. So the Gemara says, Yes, laksuba has been in dichrin, no, ain't laksuba has been in dichrin. Does she have the rights to the ksuba? Meaning when she's selling the ksuba, she's selling all aspects of the ksuba, even the ksuba has been in dichrin, or just the manim asayim, and maybe not, the ksuba has been in dichrin. So that's what the Gemara is wondering over here. Is she removing all facts of it or not? And maybe also we could say further, and maybe she doesn't have the right to remove ksuba has been in dichrin. It was her children's, something her children were supposed to inherit. It wasn't really for her. So maybe she doesn't even have the right to sell it. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava tibalach mocheles. But Rava says, wait a second, before you start asking me about mocheres, selling her ksuba to the husband, which is less common, why don't you just say where she is a good wife and she decides to waive, she says, I love you so much, husband, I don't even want the ksuba anymore, any of its stipulations. I know you're never going to divorce me, and if I die, whatever, then I die, you enter me anyway, so we're never going to get divorced. So again, this is also not mutter, because she's not allowed to be with her husband without a ksuba, but at the end of the day, this is something apparently which was more common, the Gemara is wondering, so why don't we learn about this halacha? So the Gemara says, Amar lei, hashto mocheres kami bayali. Now, my question specifically is talking about someone who's selling the ksuva, because why, what's the svara by someone selling? The alpha gav the iklame was using, because even though we can argue that maybe she's in such dire financial problems that she forced her to sell her ksuba to her husband, Tamina command, or to anybody else, Tamina command to come machula mea uchli beucha. I say it's like someone was literally with a uchla type of weight, that the woman's financial pressures is being 100 times being hit with a weight and like punched in the face basically, because she's the person who's in dire financial straits, Rahman al Tzan, many times is in a very hard state of mind. So here also, she would maybe, she would not lose the rights to the ksuba, even maybe to the ksuba's ben dichrin. So if that's the case, where even only because of her situation caused her to sell it, and yet we're saying that she'll still lose the ksuba's ben dichrin, then kol shekein, mocheles bibayi, then obviously by the case of someone who is just simply relinquishing her rights, she's just giving up on it, then pashut, says the Gemara, that in that case she would lose her rights to ksuba's ben dichrin. I don't even have that question anymore. So zog the Gemara, amar rav apshitali. It's obvious to me that mocherek ksubasa la'achirim, that if a woman is selling her ksuba to others, yesh la ksuba has been in dichrin, she still has the right, her children would inherit ksuba has been in dichrin. My taiva, because we do say in fact, Zuzanu said that her financial situation, which was terrible at the time, forced her to make the sale, and therefore it would not include other things that she would not indicate she wants to be sold. That's not part of it. However, mocheles ksuba labayla, if she simply just relinquished her rights to her ksuba to her husband, in laksuba's ben dichrin, she would not have the rights to ksuba's ben dichrin for her children, ma'itayma achule achalte, because she waived the rights to the ksuba in the fact that she took lightly the fact that she was going to die first or get divorced. So therefore, by removing all of her rights, she also removes the rights. Apparently, she does have the rights to remove it for her children also. So now the Gemara asks, by Rava mocheres ksuba's labayla, what about a case where she sells her rights to her husband? Is it similar where she sells it to others, in which case her sons can still inherit her ksuba from ksuba's ben dichrin, or is it similar to kimocheles labayla dami? Is it more similar to a case where she's waiving her rights to her husband, in which case she's showing she doesn't want it? Because here it's not to somebody else. She ultimately is selling it to her husband. So maybe the fact that it's given to her husband is like it's just like she's being mochelet, or there is no, it's like any other sale. She was in financial troubles, and that's why she sold it, and her children would inherit it. Says Gemara, basa debay hadar pashte mocheres ksubasa labayla is kimocheres labayla dami. No, because it's financial concerns. So he understood that that's the story that she was more correct. And Rava says, therefore, her children would inherit ksuba's ben dichrin if she sells her rights to her ksuba to her husband. It's important to note that the rights to the ksuba is not while they are alive, because the husband has to support the... Well, actually, that's going to be the hamshech of the Gemara. So let's just wait for that point that I'm mentioning now. Okay, so says Gemara Vayter. Mesiv Ravadi Baravin Mesa, if she died, ein yorshin shel zeh, ein yorshin shel zeh, yorshin ksuvasa. Neither of the heirs of this or that husband inherit the ksuba. Vavinim ba, we asked the kasha, ksuvasa may avidase. What is her ksuba doing here? The Mishnah already says that she loses her ksuba. What is this case over here? So we have to remember, going back to the previous Masechta, we learned Maseches Yevamos on Daf, in the Pays, remember? Exactly. So the Mishnah over there was discussing someone who remarries based on the testimony of one aid. So over there we learn that she loses her ksuba. So she lives in her ksuba, and then the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says that neither the heirs of the first husband or the second husband inherit her ksuba of a ksuba's lechor ksuba's ben dicha. And the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, ksuba's my avodah. Say, what is her ksuba doing in that Mishnah? And the Mishnah already says that she loses her whole ksuba. So obviously nobody's inheriting it because she lost it. She loses her from her first husband and her second husband. Again, her first husband is still alive, so she loses that ksuba, and she loses it from the second husband. She remarried because that was a sham, that was not supposed to be remarried. The Amar Papa, and her Papa says that she's losing the chiddush of the second half of the Mishnah is ksuvas bin adichrin. She's losing the ksuvas bin adichrin. So what do we say? V'amai hachanami lema yetzarosar. Why don't we say the same svar that just like when she sells her ksuba because she had no money, and we assume that because the fact that she was forced into this situation, basically, from the financial concerns that she had, that's why this came to this, so that's why it's a problem. So, and therefore, her children do inherit ksuvas bin adichrin. So too, when it comes to her remarrying, she was very sad, she was very alone, and she was stuck. She wanted to remarry. Her inclination to want to be married and not be left alone led her to be married. So the Gemara says, really, that would be a fine answer. You're right. That's true. However, we have a very strong punishment for her for not looking into it. If there's two Adim, she doesn't have to look into it. Two Adim is like the Matzias, that's fine, she doesn't have to do anything. She would not be punished to lose her ksuba from her first husband. However, when it's only one Aid saying it, which is a special Takana Darabana that she can get remarried, so there we expect that she does a very extremely thorough investigation to make sure that she would be allowed to remarry. And if she didn't do that, clearly it shows that it wasn't a thorough investigation, and therefore her husband, who came back, really had not died, and she had not done a thorough investigation. She is basically punished that she loses ksuba's benedichin. However, when she is forced to sell her ksuba based on the financial considerations or situation that she had, which was bad, so that is considered something which we would, in fact, view as a valid sale, and therefore, when she sells it, it does not include ksuba's benedichin. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Yosef Ravin bar Chanina Kameder of Chista, Yosef Kamar Shmeder of Elazar, Mochalek Suvasa Labaila Ein Lamazona. Someone who's waving the ksuba, waving her rights to the ksuba for her husband, has no rights to mezonos when she is going to be an almana. That's what we're saying over here. That that she doesn't get mezonos anymore. She waives the rights to the ksuba. So she, even if her husband subsequently dies, she doesn't get supported after the husband dies. So this is what I mentioned before, that this is obviously talking about when the husband dies afterwards. If it's while the husband's alive, pashut that the husband has a din d'oraisa. It's not a din d'rabanan. It's a din d'oraisa to support her, and that's not what we're talking about. The ksuba would not be talk of that. So says the Gemara now. Amar lei ilav de kamar le gemeshim gavar rabbe. If Chanina Mar Chanina didn't say this in the name of a great man or Belazar, hava minalach, I would have told you that this widow does not lose her right to the mezonos, because the pasuk says me shivra tachas teva lo samashra me beiso. The pasuk in Mishlei tells us that if a person repays someone who did good to you with bad, like no hakar satov, then that's going to be terrible for that person, his children, everything's going to be bad for them. So here, this woman did a tova. She said to the husband, okay, I'm going to be mocha l'ksuva. And now, that when the husband dies, she doesn't get mezonos from the estate, and those children are repaying her by saying, oh, thank you for not making us inherit it, we're also not going to support you, that's terrible. So therefore, they're going to be punished, so therefore, that pasuk would tell you that they should really, in fact, give more to the support the almana from the estate. Says the Gemara, Yasir Nachman, Viula Vabina Rab Papa, Vyasir Rabkhiya Baravi Megabaya, Rabkhiya Barami was sitting with them. Also Garva Dishkina Arusaso, man whose Arusa had died, he came to them with a Shaila. Amarlai Zil Kavar Oavlik Subaso. So they said, they told him, you have to go bury her, because we know that the ksuba is tacha, the money masayim is tachas, burying her when she dies. So you have to give her either give her the 100 or 200. Give her that money. If she's an amana, she's 100. If she was a basula, you'll give her 200. Or you have to go bury her. You have to do one or the other. So that's what the Gemara assumes at this point. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Chiya Tanina. But we learned this already in a brisa, that a woman who says ishta rusa, so if a woman's, it's me akasha rather. So we learn from the brisa where it says if a man's arusa in the stage of eris, and again, not necessarily in the first stage of marriage, is that she dies, lo onen, he does not become an onen. What's the halacha of an onen? A person's an onen is not allowed midaraisa to eat maaser sheni or karbanos. So that's a didaraisa midarbanan. They're also not allowed to do mitzvos. Other halachas that apply to the Zion Krovim, that would be the halachas of aninus. So that would be the halacha does not apply to this husband when he is only married through eris and only nisun. And if he's a kohen, we learn out from the words of she'ero that she'ero is zo ishto. She'ero, that means that a kohen is allowed, even maybe a mitzvah, according to Rabbi Kiva, chiyuv, to go be metame for the burial of his Zion Krovim, and in that is his wife. His wife is included, but only when she is a nisun, not a arusa. V'chein, he lo anes, so too she is not in aninus when he dies, and v'lo mitamala, she does not need to go to be involved in the burial. Obviously, she's not mitzuvah. If she's a kohenes, there's a din. We learn bnei Aaron v'lo bnei Osaron. That's the Gemara in Sota tells us that. So it's not a din d'oraisa, but she, meaning there's no chiyav. There's no even inyan that she has to go to the levaya, to the burial. So the Gemara says mesa eina yorsha. If she dies, he does not inherit her. Meisu kovas ksubasa. If he dies first, she collects her ksuba. So now, what's the kasha? Taima de meisu. Now, the reason that Rusa collects her ksuba seemingly is the husband died first. Ha meisa, however, if she dies first, ain la ksubasa. This implies that she has no rights to the obligation of the burial in the ksuba. My taima, what's the reason she's not required, that the husband's not required to bury her? Amar Roshia, she ain ani koreba, lichshitinal silacher, tili mashik ksubasa lichi. When you marry another man, you could take this ksuba. So here, this is written in the Mishnah, and it indicates that the ksuba is going into effect only after the woman is going to be widowed or divorced from her husband and is able to remarry. So as long as the husband did not die first, he is not obligated to, because he didn't inherit anything from her during the Arizin stage, he's not obligated to bury her. So says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravina Marish Lakish, Arusa Shemesa Ein Lak Ksubasa. An Arusa who dies does not have the right to burial. The Ksuba here means the right to the burial. Amarle Abaye Zil Amarle. So Abaye says to the Chachamim, go tell Ravin, turning on to the next somebody now, he says to them, go tell Ravin, Shakila Tivasa Shadei Achazire. Your favor is taken away, literally thrown into thorns, meaning for talking about Rav Oshia, which might be Bavel, Rav Oshia told us Allah and Bavel before you, don't tell us that you're getting this great Tova. If it doesn't this psak, we already learned this psak beforehand in Bavel. Now the Mishnah tells us the next part of the Mishnah, but no, look for David Lechem and Aichi. They be able to that they're able to live in my house and supported from mitzvah and chassid. They're going to be supported from my house. So as a rough trend to have it in front of me, that's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says that the daughters are going to be the orphan daughters are going to be allowed to be supported from the estate. Rav Tani had to talk on the government. So Rav, many have either had the gears of the Mishnah or understood the Mishnah to mean until they are married. But Levi says, Ad to Bagrin, until they reach the level of Bagrus, which was 12 and a half. So Gemara asks, Rav Avakav the Bagar, Levi Avakav the Insis, what's going on over here? Normally when the father marries off his daughter, so he's no longer supporting her. So then Kol Shekin is dead, if his estate is supporting her, then if she gets married, that there should be no obligation whatsoever for them to support him. Right? Because that, just like the father himself wouldn't, so Kol Shekin, the estate shouldn't have to either. And the same thing when she becomes a Belgaris. When she's a Belgaris, she's in her own rishis. The father no longer is made for Nadarim. She's not in the Naira stage anymore. The father has no control over her, so too the father doesn't have to support her anymore. So the state also should not have to support her. So that's the Gemara's kasha over here. So Gemara says, Ella Bagar velo intiv, intiv la Bagar, dekuliam la Bagi. You're right. Everybody agrees. If she becomes a Belgaris and she's not married yet, the estate doesn't have to support her anymore. And similarly, because we assume, again, that was his age that time, that she's clearly known to be on her own. She's old enough and she's able to work, she's able to provide her own means. They don't have a chiyuv to support her anymore. However, if she is married also, by Nisuin, even before that stage, it's an Aaron, and she gets married, so then also they would not have to be supported. So then what's the machlokas of her? Kipligi barutz of a bagar. What about where she is not yet a bagar? She's not 12 and a half, she's younger than that, she's 12, or 12 and 2 months, and she does Erisin and not Nisuin. So Rav holds that she doesn't get any more. Levi holds that she would get it until she does the full stage of Nisuin. V'chein tana Levi manasnisa. Levi taught in a braisa that ad the bagrit, if you want to zim them to Insuin until they come the age of bagrus, or they enter the time for them to enter Nisuin, right? When a man has 12 months, meaning not even enter Nisuin physically, but let's say a man and a woman have 12 months to prepare. That was the first Mishnah. They have 12 months to get ready between the Eris and Nisuin. So if the Higiyas Man Velo Nisu, the husband has to start, the future husband has to start supporting her instead of the father. So already at that stage, Levi is going to tell us that stage would be the point at which he would end the support, because that's already considered like Nisuin. So the Gemara says, Tarte, you have to have Bagrus and Nisuin. The Gemara says, Amin, and it really requires both. Rather, no, Ella, Oti, Bagrus, or they reach the level of Bagrus, or Matizun, and Nisuin, the time comes to Nisuin. Either one or the other, is going to be good enough for them to get married. So to them to not be supported anymore by the father's estate. So the Gemara says, Tanai, this Lachora, Machokas, Rav, and Levi, is really Machokas, earlier generations of Tanaim. An Masai, Bas, Nizones, until when is a daughter supported from her father's estate? Ad Shetiaris, until she lesson of Erison, Mishum Elazar Amre, Achete Bagar, until they reach the level of Bagar. So you see that whether it ends by Erison is Machlokas Tanayim. Rav is going to be like the Tanakhama, Levi is going to be like Rabbi Elazar. Tanar of Yosef, Achete Havin, until they will be in a state of marriage. So we're wondering, what did Rav Yosef mean? Did he hold like Rav or like Levi? By the Havin and Erison, or Havin and Suin? Which one did he say? Married, which stage of marriage? The earlier stage or the later stage? The Gemara says, Teiku, we're not sure what Rav Yosef's psak was. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Amar Rav Chista, Rav Yosef, Mi Shamia Lach Mine Rav Yehuda, Arusa Yesh La Mezona, So Ein La Mezona. Does an Arusa, a woman who is erisin, does she receive support from her father's state or not? Meaning, how do we pass in this matter? Apparently, to know Rav and the early Machlokas Tanaim. So what do we say? Amar Lei, Mashmali Losh Miali. So I didn't hear anything about what Rav Yehuda said. I'll tell you what I think. I think Misfar, you can give a logical understanding that after Erishin, she would not receive any support. Because came into Arise, since she already is now taken in the first stage of marriage, what's the idea? We don't want her to go begging for food. It's very embarrassing for a 12-year-old girl to go begging door for door. It's inappropriate also to go begging door for door. I want to make sure it doesn't happen. So the future husband's going to make sure it happens. Already first stage of Erisin. So they're going to make sure it doesn't happen. Amrelay, if Chister disagrees, he responds, if it's just based on your logic, I'll disagree with you. Misfar Islay, she should receive support because since he doesn't really know she's going to go through this marriage, she's only in the first stage of marriage, and not really, it's like an engagement marriage. So maybe they're going to break off the intermarriage, obviously you have to get a divorce, but really they're going to not fully completely consummate the marriage. So then lo shadi inish b'chdi, he's not going to be wasting all his money supporting her for the next year until he knows for sure that he's going to be marrying her, and therefore the estate should still have to support them. So it's Gemara Veikud Amri that it was reverse shitas. Amar lei that Rav Yosef said responded to Rav Chista in the opposite. Now Mashmali lo shmiali kevan de misora isla, that she should receive support after erusin kevan de lo kim le begava lo shadis b'chdi, because she, in this version, Rav Yosef is the one who's saying that he will not waste his money, the husband, and therefore the estate should support him. And Ramalei, Rav Chista responds back to Rav Yosef, because if you didn't hear anything, then I would say the opposite, that she does not receive support after Erisin, because the husband surely will support her at that point, and then it's going to be okay, and therefore she will not be stuck begging for food. Okay, now the Gemara is going to have a series of five different questions that we're going to have about a daughter's right to support from the father's estate. And there's a mnemonic, Sima de Garve Sak Zaraf. So what is the Sak Zaraf? Shin of Sak is the Lashon of Rosh Hashanah. The Kuf Sak is going to be Rish Lakish. And Zion for Blazer, Rabbi Lazar, right? Rabbi Lazar. Resh is for Rava. Pei is for Apapa. Those are the people who ask the questions. So now, what is our question? Man of Yavama, Shnia, Rusava, Nusa. Those are going to be the topics. The woman who is a Yavama, Ashnia, Arusa, Nanusa, those are going to be someone who's raped. Right? All these questions are going to be dealt with. We're going to discuss the first one right now. So says the Gemara now. Boy Mine, Mirav, Sheshes, they asked the Rav Sheshes, Mima Enes, a girl who is a minor, who refuses the marriage arranged by her mother, brother, right? There's a special din of Miyun. Miyun is a din. When the father marries off his daughter, she's married on a level of Deoraisa. So she can't just refuse the marriage. She's married on a level of Deoraisa by the father. However, if the father, Rahman Sam, passes away, so then the brother or the mother can then marry her off on the level of Darbanan. So she has a special right of refusal that she could just, after the marriage already goes on for a few years, she can refuse this husband. So the Gemara is wondering that if she refused it, Yesha Madonos, does she receive support from her father's estate afterwards, after she's already been married? Oh, Ela Madonos, or maybe she should not receive it, because maybe she already had gone into Nisuin, and therefore it has removed the father's right to be to her supporter, or chiyuv to support her, so to the estate would not have to support her. So says the Gemara now, Amar Lur Rav Sheshes, Tenisua, we learn this in the Braisa. Almana beves avia, a woman widowed in her father's house after Erisin, ugrusha beves avia. Or a woman divorced in her father's house after Erisin, v'shomeres yavam, or a woman who awaits Yibum in her father's house after Erisin, Yesh Lamazonas. In all these examples, she receives support from her father's estate. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ota Bevesavia, Yesh Lamazonas, Ota Bevesavia, En Lamazonas. She would not receive support. So now, where do we see the Raya from this? Rashi fleshes it out. Rabbi Yehuda, Ainu Tana Kama, Lachora, when you look at this Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is identical to that of Tana Kama. Obviously, there must be a machlokas over here. Rabbi Yehuda appears to be discussing in the case of a woman who is widowed, divorcing, or waiting Yibum. He tells us that in her father's house, that she receives support. Lachora, that's exactly what the Tana Kama said. So what's machlokas? So says the Gemara, Ella la b'manesik menei, must be that a girl who is the b'manes, who refused this marriage, and then comes back to the husband's estate, that's machlokas. Takama sarver isla, the Tana Kama holds, she would have support from the father's estate. Rabbi Yehuda sarver leisla. So that would be that machlokas tanaim. That's what we've just proved right now. That's machlokas tanaim. Let's get to the second question. By Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Bas Yavama, the daughter of Yavama, Yesh Lamazonos, oh, Ein Lamazonos. In our example of here, we're talking about a case where a Yavama had a daughter by her Yavam, and the Yavam then died. So the question is going to be whether the daughter is allowed to demand from the half-brothers, the Yavam's heirs, that they should support her from the Yavam's estate. So says the Gemara, Kevan Damar Mar, since we learn, Ksuva al Nechse Baila Rishon, with regards to Mimasechas Yavamos, we learn that the Ksuva goes on the first husband, so not the second husband, Laisless. So it would be illogical to assume that the daughter, the Yavam, does not receive support from the Yavam's estate, the daughter, because this is a function of the Ksuva. It should go back to the first husband's estate, not the Yavam. Oh, Dilmar, maybe we could argue, came on to Isle Mirishon if the Yavama, Ilesle Mirishon, if the Yavam didn't have enough money, the first Yavam didn't have enough money for the first husband's estate, Tiknul Rabbanan Mesheni, the Rabbanan in that situation enacted it to have the Ksuba come from the second husband, the Yavam's estate. Islah in that case, or if he's alive, then he has to pay it up. The daughter does receive support as part of that. So the Gemara says, Teiku, that's a very good question. We'll leave it as a Teiku. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Vayir Rabbi Lazar, Mirtz Hashem in tomorrow's daf.